Now, if you were here last weekend, it wouldn't surprise you to hear that wherever I had been this week, there was also the sound of Christmas music. At home, in the office, on the road, which actually helped this morning with the bike race that was going on, and we had a little bit of road rage going on. It was good to have it going in the car. I also had an interesting interaction this week with a neighbor, and she asked, well, how did Hannah enjoy Christmas? To which I said, well, very well, and she still is, as we're still opening Christmas presents that are found underneath the Christmas tree. For it's only day 9 of 12 of Christmas. And I had a little puzzled look. So I'd explain a little bit about the 12 days of Christmas. Now, as I mentioned to the children, the church, in its wisdom, deemed the season of Christmas to be 12 days long. A perfect amount of time to set aside to worship, to honor, to rejoice, to symbolize the time it took for the last of the travelers to arrive in Bethlehem to allow them as well to worship the newly born king. So maybe last weekend you saw that caravan back in the narthex, and today we had him on the credence table, and finally, praise the Lord, Balthazar, Melchior, and Caspar have arrived at our nativity scene. Most of us don't speak in this way, but if someone said that they had an epiphany, they mean that something that had been blocked, hidden, or unknown to them before was all of a sudden made clear, which makes the Feast of the Epiphany so special for us because it marks the day that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became known and accessible in a whole new way to everyone who was not born Jewish. That is why the Feast of the Epiphany in the wider Anglican communion, of which we are a part, is more often referred to as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Now, note that it was God himself who produced the star, calling the Magi, getting their attention from the east, that allowed them to find Jesus, God's own son, and therein be forever changed. Now, we don't know too much about the people who so mysteriously this Christmas season moved closer and closer to the Christmas crash. But what we do know comes mostly from Holy Scripture, of which we read from the prophet Isaiah and the Gospel of Matthew. We know that they are referred to as wise men or magi, yet we don't really know exactly how many there were. Tradition has it that there were 3, because we're told in the Scriptures that 3 presents were presented to the Christ child. But there could have been many more who were part of this group. And who were these magi? Well, we think some sort of astrologer or soothsayer, possibly, says theologians. At least a people skilled in philosophy, of medicine, of natural science, the interpretation of dreams. They were scholars. They were teachers. They were seen as holy men who were in service of the Persian king from the east. And as holy men, if there was to be a sacrifice offered in honor of the king, the Magi were to be present. Now, in ancient days, many, many people believed in astrology, believing that their future could be foretold by the reading of stars, not unlike those who maybe look to the horoscopes today we find in our newspaper. They believed that a person's destiny was settled by the star under which they were born. So looking up to the heavens, people saw order. And when the Magi looked up and saw some special phenomenon in the sky, they believed that God, who created the heavens, was breaking through his old order and announcing something special, something new. But whatever the wise men saw, the heavenly brilliance spoke to their hearts in such a powerful way, a way that they didn't even understand fully themselves, that they left their homes, their responsibilities, their livelihoods, to risk everything to follow that great light which had appeared in the sky. Possibly having heard some old prophecies, the caravan made their way to Jerusalem, and there they began to make inquiries as to this newborn king, which of course made quite a stir within the local authorities and all of Jerusalem. Scriptures tell us that they, with King Herod, shivered as they awaited more news to the claim of this child who was born destined to be king. And in a panic, Herod summoned the chief priests and the experts in the law and asked them about this claim of the Magi, this birth of the so-called king, to which they responded back with the Hebrew scriptures, quoting the scriptures, saying, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And so what did Herod do? He sent for the Magi and dispatched them to seek this child in Bethlehem and asked them, required of them, requested of them to report back to him so that he too could go and worship. Although we know that his one desire was to rid this world of the heavenly king. And so the wise men found their way to Bethlehem, stopping at the place where the star had rested. And they found the child with his mother and father. And there they bowed down and worshipped, presenting their gifts to the newly born king. And what would someone give to a babe born to be king? Gold? Possibly gold was worthy of a king? Yet this king was not to reign by force, but by love, ruling over human hearts not from a throne, but from a cross, wherein a notice would be written and hung that said, "This is the King of the Jews." What more might be worthy of a king? Possibly a costly incense, frankincense. For it was in temple worship and at the temple sacrifices that sweet perfume of frankincense was used. The priest made intercession and atonement for the people through animal sacrifice. And it was Jesus who would become high priest among his people, making atonement with God, not with the blood of bulls and rams as before, but by offering himself as the pure, spotless Lamb of God, making expiation for the sins of all people. For the scriptures say, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." What more would be offered to this Christ child, the Messiah? A bottle of myrrh, a combination of oil and resin used to embalm the bodies of the dead. Curious gift to be given to a newborn baby full of life and life fully in front of him. Yet, although Jesus was living and preaching and loving the people and reaching out to them in powerful ways, miraculous ways that people didn't even understand, in the end, he gave his life for any and all who would receive him. And to them, he was given the right, they have been given the right to become children of God. For the scriptures say, "Jesus was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." And so it was foretold, "They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Gold for the true king, frankincense for the perfect high priest, myrrh for him who in the end would give the supreme sacrifice, the sacrifice of his own life, that all would be set free." Yet, were these gifts merely given in homage to this new king, this King of Kings? Or maybe it was more of a deliberate act of declaring a 180-degree break from their old ways, a turning of life around, a laying down of their tools of their trade, laid at the feet of him who alone heals and transforms and renews, Jesus the Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer. For we are told that the Magi did not return to Herod as was requested, but went home another way, a new way, different from before, filled with new life and new truth as to the reality of the newly born King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they were forever changed. So this weekend, as we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, and we are a week into this new year, I'm struck with that same inquiry that was brought to us at Christmas from Father Joe, which has stuck with me for weeks now, because it's so simple, yet it's so profound, of which I mentioned this week at our midweek Eucharist. This question of, what will you present to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, honoring and giving glory for his birth? What will you present? What more of you are you willing to lay down at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ? That you would know him more clearly, as the song goes, love him more dearly, follow him more clearly and nearly, day by day. For it is in Christ that we have the same inheritance Moses claimed for he and his people as he knelt before the face of the Lord God Almighty. It is in Christ that we share in the same body and the same promises given through the gospel and in the letters of St. Paul, who reminds us that this happened, that Jesus coming to us happened, that everyone would see the plan of the mystery hidden from ages in God, for Jesus Christ came to save us all. Beloved, this isn't a one-time thing. This is not a rite of passage, nor a getting ready for Lent thing. This is a wherever you are, whatever you're doing kind of a thing. When God grabs a hold of you and you know it kind of a thing. That proverbial 2x4 over the head kind of a thing. You never know when or where it's going to happen. But when it does, you know what's going on, as the Magi did. And that's how God likes it. But if you're not seeking, if you're not listening, if you're not looking, you might miss it. For it comes to us in that little small voice, offering to trade just a little more of me, of you, of ourselves, of our allegiance, of our time, of our talents, of our very self, to be sacrificially laid down at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that we would be totally set free. Truly be more the me I can be, which is Christ in me and all God wants us to be, forever changed. For the long search is over. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is and was found, and his kingdom shall never end. God is calling. May we have the ears to listen, the eyes to see, the hearts and hands wide open to receive, that we would ever and always be found in more of him and less of me. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.